Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the USS Gerald R. Ford recently surpassed the record for the longest post-Vietnam deployment. We discuss. We talk to Chef Sean Coolhaas about culinary cultivations and more. RX Kids is expanding. We get the details. Circle Theater opens its season this Friday. We get a preview of that. And guests from True Line Health Clinic join in to discuss their grand opening next week.
The USS Gerald R. Ford recently surpassed the record for the longest post-Vietnam deployment. So let's get into a bit of history, and I'd like to hear a very important tribute from one who heads up our Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation, Gleaves Whitney, in the house. Good morning to you, Gleaves.
Good morning, Shelley.
You've been busy behind the scenes, not only doing your own research on historical knowledge that I'd love to hear about, but obviously a personal interest in the USS Gerald R. Ford.
Well, this is really a wonderful opportunity to say thanks to all of the sailors, the airmen, the officers, and the commander, the commanding officer of the Gerald R. Ford. It's called in the Navy CVN 78 because of their sacrifice, their time of deployment that you just referenced, over 300 days. They were recently in the Eastern Mediterranean, and they're now in the Red Sea, and I've been in touch with some of the officers there on board. And they are just wonderfully self-sacrificing and staying in really kind of a chipper spirit, you know, to do the duty, the job that they have sworn to do. So these are just amazing sailors and officers who are serving our country. And we wanted to give them a tribute. Thank them.
How did the USS Gerald R. Ford come to be?
Well, this goes back to the 20th century, the last century, and the very first years of the 21st century. And Don Rumsfeld is the one who actually broke the news to President Ford. It was either in 2005 or 2006. He said, Mr. President, and Don Rumsfeld had been President Ford's Secretary of Defense, and he said, President Ford, former President Ford, I've got really good news for you. We're going to build a whole new class of aircraft carriers, and yours is going to be the name of the flagship, the Gerald R. Ford. And it pleased President Ford so much. He was very humbled by it. And it took many years, but 2013, 2014 is when the Ford was really getting finished up. The foundation, where I'm proud to serve, played a role in sort of equipping it with all the extras, you know, a library and a nice retreat on the ship where people could go and sort of recharge their batteries. You know, just those little extras that the Pentagon wasn't able to provide, but we were able to provide working with the Navy League. And so then the carrier was tested and is now deployed in a war. And we're just very proud of the crew that serves our country, that's on the Gerald R. Ford, and we, as the foundation that President Ford left, we're doing everything we can to support them.
And it's an aircraft carrier.
It's an aircraft carrier.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it is. The largest aircraft carrier in the world.
Yes. Oh, there we are.
4,500 crew members.
You have written a tribute to the crew members. Would you like to share it with us?
I would. It's short, went out yesterday to the carrier, working with the Navy to make sure that it was all factually correct and that we use the right terminology, and it's being published on the carrier today. So this is really neat. It's a little sneak preview for your audience, Shelley. So it says, to the sailors, airmen, and officers of the USS Gerald R. Ford and to her commanding officer, on behalf of the Ford family and trustees of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation, we extend our deepest gratitude and highest praise for your valor and devotion to duty. As you navigate the waters of the Eastern Mediterranean and Red Sea, you carry with you more than just the name of our 38th president. You carry his legacy of integrity, good judgment, and courageous, battle-tested leadership. Shelley, let me pause there. President Ford served in World War II from June 1943 to December 1944 on the USS Monterey, which was a light carrier, aircraft carrier, in the Pacific Ocean. So he was part of the operations in several battles along the island road to Japan to make sure that the United States won in the Pacific theater during World War II. And he was a fantail gunner, gunnery officer, getting shot at, virtually being prepared to be shot at every day. I mean, this is battle-tested leadership. He became the navigator for the ship at perilous times, and also the time when he almost lost his life was during a typhoon, Halsey's typhoon, it's called colloquially, where he comes onto the deck because their planes sliding around, there are explosions. I mean, this typhoon was just wreaking havoc as the ship is pitching to and fro, and he loses his footing, slides all the way across the carrier deck, and is only saved by his athleticism. You know, he was the most athletic person probably on the carrier, and he holds the scupper at the very edge of the carrier to keep from, you know, being thrown into the roiling waters of the Pacific Ocean. Well, he was battle-tested, and that was a close call, and I think that experience on the USS Monterey prepared him to be the leader of this country and certainly made him worthy of having a whole class of aircraft carriers in the Navy built in his name.
Yes, I wonder when he told Betty Ford about that experience. Honey, I've got a little story to share. It's happened. Please continue.
Well, the tribute goes on. Like Lieutenant Commander Gerald Ford, who served with distinction aboard the light carrier USS Monterey during World War II, you have demonstrated extraordinary resilience in the face of adversity. Your service on the world's largest aircraft carrier and the most technologically advanced warship ever constructed is a testament to American ingenuity and strength. But add to these the profound personal sacrifice inherent in this record-breaking deployment. Having been underway since June 24, 2025, you have surpassed 300 days at sea, setting a post-Vietnam War era benchmark for endurance and commitment to national security. We are especially mindful of the approximately 4,500 men and women of the Ford and Carrier Air Wing 8 who have maintained a high state of readiness through every challenge, including the recent trials of shipboard repairs. Your pivotal role as the flagship of the Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group in Operation Epic Fury underscores the vital importance of your mission in maintaining peace and stability in a volatile region. President Ford once said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." Today, you are the guardians of that freedom, and we stand in awe of your professionalism and are profoundly grateful for your service to the United States of America. Fair winds and following seas.
Fair winds and following seas. I like that.
That's a term I learned in the course of drafting this because it was, it's a Navy term. It's a term of art that they use. It's an old term. It's just resonant with much meaning for people in the Navy.
You mentioned this in the beginning, Gleaves. So this will be presented how to our seamen?
We sent it. We've worked. So I established contact with the naval officer in charge of public affairs on the carrier, and we sent it to her, and she is disseminating it on board the aircraft carrier. She's already disseminated it this morning, and they have a newsletter, and they're going to post it, so people back stateside will also be able to see the tribute.
And, of course, what does this mean for our community, Gleaves?
It means that Gerald R. Ford once again is being recognized as an incredible civic leader and president of the United States. He contributed so much to this community, which gave so much to him. He never forgot what Grand Rapids did to launch him into a great career of service and leadership. His legacy lives on. We're just so proud that the USS Gerald R. Ford is helping defend our freedom in the Red Sea right now.
Yes. Where can one find a copy of this?
It's gone out to the media this morning, and we're hoping that it will be published broadly. But if you want, it'll also be posted on our website, you know, GeraldRFordFoundation.org.
And in between, more programming happening at your Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation under your leadership, yes?
That's right. We have a lot of programs. In fact, tonight I'm going to Ann Arbor to the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Library, where I'm going to speak about the Northwest Ordnance, because we are going to have that document. It's right now in Ann Arbor. It's really one of the great state papers in American history. It was actually created before the Constitution, but it acts like a constitution for our part of the country. Parts of the Northwest Ordnance are literally lifted and put into Michigan's Constitution. It is a living, organic law that still prevails. So I'm going to be talking about that in Ann Arbor tonight. And we have Akil Amar coming in on May 6th. A lot of programs.
Yes. off some in our own community. All right, Gleaves Whitney, thank you very much. This tribute to the sailors, airmen, and officers of the USS Gerald R. Ford, CVN-78, and her commanding officer. What history being made even today. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
Forward to this gentleman. He was recently on a pedestal this past week, joining in on the Brilliance Awards, a finalist for what was it, Sean Coolhouse, supporting man?
Best supporting man. Yeah.
Don't forget best. So congratulations. What an opportunity to be a finalist and obviously surrounded by those who believe in you. You, a seasoned food service industry veteran, 30 years plus, leading the way with new and fresh approaches. You give back to the community, hence why we are here with your work as a proprietor, as principal with Culinary Cultivations. There we said it. So I guess I'll ask, what did you have for breakfast? Something healthy?
Well, I started my day with a shot of collagen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I start my morning. And then a little bit of coffee. And I figure the cream is my protein for the morning. And then usually I go into something a little bit better for lunch, a little healthy salad or some kind of protein that's good for me.
Yes, well, I know you've been on a wellness journey as well, but I want to dig a bit into a bit of your history, award-winning in many ways. When did you know you wanted to be a chef in general?
It's a funny story. I was actually in school for computer engineering. Big change. But I always loved food, you know, cooking in the kitchens with my grandmothers. My mom didn't cook. So, you know, I always, loved working in the kitchens. Actually, my most prized possessions that I own today are two cast iron skillets, one for my grandmom Rizzo and one for my grandmom Kohlhaas. But it's always been a passion of mine, and I didn't want to do it for a living because I thought it would ruin it. But when I actually took a job in a 5-star restaurant in Charlotte, North Carolina, I loved it, and it just grew my passion even deeper. So here we are today.
Yes, you moved here in 2004, I see, and you discovered a new frontier in food culture. Expand.
Yeah, so, I came here. Grand Rapids was not as expansive in the culinary industry as it is today. There was a lot of change. It was a little different. So I traveled around for a while, but I also watched and, dare I say, even helped cultivate the culinary scene here in our Grand Rapids community as we know it today.
Were you a prestigious executive chef for NASCAR?
I was, amongst a lot of other things. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yes, nice. Okay, I digress, as they say. So let's get into today. Acting lead consultant, principal of Culinary Cultivations. What's your new niche?
I started this company about 15 years ago. Started with just doing the food safety certifications with, local food professionals. And it grew from there. We started doing alcohol safety certifications. Then they started coming to us and saying, hey, we need help with our operations. So we started doing consulting. Then they came to us again. They said, hey, we need help with staff for events and this and that. And so we started doing staffing. You know, I guess the recipe to our success has always been listening to our customers and giving them what they want.
Yes. Give me an example of that and perhaps what's on the list for this week.
Oh, wow. There's a lot going on. Actually, I've got a food tasting today with our friends at Restaurant Partners. We do a lot of consulting with them. They have 30 restaurants, 2 resorts, 16 different brands. So we do a lot of work with them, just tasting foods and helping with recipe development.
And you've been yourself on a wellness journey, as I may. What's been happening?
Yeah, so I guess about 9 months ago, I just really made a commitment to myself and my well-being. I said, okay, I'm gonna lose this weight, but it's not just about losing weight. I think that was my problem in the past, is always just trying to lose weight, and I wasn't trying to be well. You know, so mm-hmm. mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. So. You know, did a lot of different changes in my life. I smoked cigarettes, gave up smoking cigarettes. You know, chefs were, notorious for that. Also gave up alcohol in my diet. Just started really looking at how I can feed myself better, because you are what you eat. But also in my mind, I seeking a better spiritual side of myself. Also, you know, going to yoga. So spiritual and movement, walking my dog every day, going to the gym. I mean, and there's a lot of other things I'm probably not thinking of, but it's making those intentional movements to be well to yourself.
And as a chef, are you eating differently than you did 9 months ago?
Absolutely. I mean, I tell people I get paid to eat. Mm-hmm. I actually am going to go eat food today. So it's all about moderation. It's all about being conscious about what you're doing, what you're eating, what you're consuming and ingesting. You know, sometimes when I'm tasting food, I spit it out, you know, just because I can't consume that much.
So there's an etiquette to that spitting out, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to be, you know.
He's turning his head again.
Oh, yeah.
But I appreciate that. You've also, Chef Sean Kohlhouse, been a supporter of those who live within a marginalized space. Let's expand maybe in your belief in equity here.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been somebody that believes in equity. I think it's something that's very much well needed. I mean, I know myself as a white male, I have privilege, which is access to a lot of resources. And I want to make sure that I'm able to share those resources with others that might not have those resources and bring them to the elevation of where they are able to be on the same platform as the rest of us. I mean, you know, race, creed, color, sex, I know with the Brilliance Awards, I was, you know, best supporting man for the women. But I would also say, like, I don't ever really look at it as one group. I look at all of us as humans, and we all should be treated equally as humans.
How else are you giving to the community?
Oh, well, there's a lot of different foundations I've started or co-founded or are a part of. You know, my big event every year, Taste of Hope, which supports American Cancer Society.
Yeah.
I love that event. It's close, near and dear to my heart.
Is that your event?
Yeah, I co-founded it with my friend Ginger Feldman and Ken Jensen.
I saw that picture of you with Ginger.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We're close friends. And before that, Ginger and I did a similar event for March of Dimes for years. It was really nice that we were able to reinvent it and started about 5 years ago. We raised a lot of money for American Cancer Society, of course, with the help of our leader in that event is Carolee Waswick, who is amazing. And there's so many volunteers, so many people. People ask me all the time, they say, Sean, how do you do all the things you do? And I say, I don't do all of it. I have massive amounts of people that help support the things that I do. And it's great. And then there's also other things like the Tip Jar Foundation, which we have the West Michigan Food and Beverage Awards is supported by that. Feast for Kids, which I work through. I'm the chairman of the board of the American Culinary Federation of Greater Grand Rapids. So we have a lot of events that we do and we help with community, especially Kids Food Basket. I love Bridget and everybody over there. Just a fantastic team of people. That's actually coming up here in a week or two, I think. we've got lots of stuff. And I sit on various boards with the health department and others. I believe in community action and being a big part of positive change.
But the dog brings you home.
Oh, I love my dog. He is my best friend. He is. I was with him this morning. We wake up in the morning and, we get our snuggles in real quick and then we go out for our walk. Actually, before we go out for a walk, I do a little yoga stretch and he does his little yoga stretch with me and it's the cutest thing.
That keeps you grounded. All right. Try that with three every morning.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Chef Sean Kohlhouse, what do you need from the community?
Just support and all the things that we do. If I can say anything, if you can just be a positive force in our community, a guiding light, be out there and just help others. And if you want to be a part of some of the things that I do, you know, check out my Instagram or Facebook. There's lots of ways to get involved. You can message me. I'll respond and set you up with something that you feel good about helping with.
Pretty good with that. What would that be under?
That would be under Sean Kohlhouse, Sean Kohlhaas, and that's it.
All right, go test your food today.
I will,
and then,
thank you.
More yoga, I bet.
Yes.
Or run around the park. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Let's move on to the talk about kids. Dr. Mona Hanna on the line, director of RX Kids and associate dean of public health at the Michigan State University College of Human Medicine. She's a big deal, and there is a big deal happening in our own backyard. Dr. Hanna, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you.
Appreciate you. All right. We have an opportunity for, well, kids, families in our own backyard, as I often say. Let's get right into this conversation. This would be the nation's first ever community-wide prenatal and infant cash prescription program. Tell us about RX Kids.
Yeah, RX Kids is what we lovingly call a prescription for health, hope, and opportunity. It turns out that families who are expecting are the most economically vulnerable. So that's when families are actually the poorest in their whole lives, is when they're pregnant and when they just had a baby, because income drops and it's really expensive to have a kiddo these days. So RX Kids is buffering families with a little bit of economic stability. Since moms get $1,500 in pregnancy, and once a baby's born, it's $500 a month for the first 6 months. So it's a tiny bit of economic support and to ensure that kids have the resources they need to grow up healthy and thrive. So fundamentally, this is a maternal infant health program to improve the health of mamas and babies at a population level.
This is important. We are very timely. We understand RX Kids will launch in the 49507 area codes and Muskegon and Muskegon Heights this summer. So let's talk about this, the eligibility and how moms sign up.
Absolutely. So we had an open application process for communities to say, hey, we want to be part of RX Kids. And we had dozens of communities apply. And we are so excited to launch RX Kids in Muskegon and Muskegon Heights. And those will go live on June 1st. And then the zip code of 49507 on July 1st. So RX Kids is a place-based program. So the eligibility is for everybody in those communities. So you just have to be pregnant, at least 16 weeks pregnant, or have a baby born on the start date or later. So it's easy to apply. Mamas and families can go to rxkids.org. It's a simple application. They just have to upload proof of residency and pregnancy or that they had a baby. And then there's a really robust back-end process for verification. And then families get that economic support.
Cool. Dr. Hanna, why is the time before birth and right after the birth of a baby, I understand, so financially difficult on families?
Yeah, that's a great question. So towards the end of pregnancy, mamas often have to come out of the workforce. So there's a drop in income. We also don't have a lot of paid leave policies in this country. So there's not that social safety net when moms come out of the workforce. And then babies are expensive. So it's estimated that, just that first year of life is an extra $20,000 when you think about all the necessary things babies need, like car seats and cribs and formula and diapers and diapers and diapers. So this is a time where your income drops and expenses rises. And this maternal infant period that is so economically vulnerable is so consequential when it comes to health and development. So as a pediatrician, gosh, that first year of life, your brain actually doubles in size. What happens during pregnancy, what happens in those first few months really sets the foundation for future health and development. So that's why this is just laser focused on moms and babies, once again, when they're so, struggling to make ends meet, but also because it's so important for health.
Importance is key. So what do RX Kids mothers say about how the program helps them in conclusion?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have about 10,000 mamas now in the program. The program's already in 40 communities across Michigan, and families are just so grateful. They talk about how they can make ends meet, that they have a weight that's been lifted off their shoulder, that they can be present, that they can be parent, that they can be, the parents that they want to be. So that they are able to, buy diapers and pay for rent and food. So lots of wonderful, wonderful statements from mamas throughout the state of Michigan.
All right. How do we find out more information? You, director of RX Kids and associate dean of public health at the Michigan State University College of Human Medicine, please.
RxKids.org.
As easy as that. All right. Thank you for this conversation and addressing improving maternal and infant health. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk of all things Circle Theater. The season opens with Magic Circle production Elephant and Piggies. We are in a play. Let's discuss the opener with those involved. So glad you are here. Phoebe Dawson doing good work behind the scenes and always on stage as well. Hi to you, Phoebe.
And, hi.
And bright and pink. Yay. Aaron Eating, Gerald the Elephant, doing good job. You are. I've seen a couple rehearsals, and I can't wait to see you in action. Good morning.
Good morning.
You having fun?
Absolutely. It's a great show.
Ever played an elephant?
No. I have played a toad. But an elephant is much bigger and very different.
I guess that's moving up or moving over. Either way, you have to be get into character. Phoebe, this is wonderful. Circle Theater certainly presenting Magic Circle most times as their season opener. How big a deal is this for you?
For me, this is actually my directing debut with Circle Theater. So I am really excited on that part. And to open the season with just a whimsical, goofy, family-friendly show, it gets everybody all ages into the theater to celebrate not only just magic and art, but also just live theater in general in Grand Rapids.
Wonderful. What's the run?
The run is May 1st through 3rd. We're excited that we get to also perform for some schools throughout the week on Wednesday and Thursday. We have some of those morning shows, but for the public, it's May 1st through 3rd.
At Circle Theater. Production,
yep.
Yes. How fun is this, as I say again, to be involved with Elephant and Piggies, Aaron? And I'm going to get you right into the storyline, if you would.
Absolutely. It is incredibly fun because it's such an energetic show. I spend basically an hour making as ridiculous of faces as I possibly can. I feel really bad for my co-star, Tara, who has to just look at those faces all the
time.
Is she the piggy? She is the piggy. Exactly. There's not a terribly distinct through line of the story, but it inhabits the Mo Willems books of Elephant and Piggy. I think it takes basically the stories of eight of those books and kind of smushes them all together into an hour of fun and a little bit of heartbreak, but everything turns out all right in the end.
Yes, and brag on Phoebe's direction style.
Oh, Phoebe has, well, in addition to being our director, she is also our choreographer.
Oh, yeah. Or we're achieving right away.
You know, there's so many aspects in the show that we got to go into from not just directing, but the song. Everybody's so incorporated into everything that it just made sense to also choreograph for it. So getting to play with movement that is also kid friendly as well, where kids can look and maybe even dance along a little in the audience and help tell the story. So yeah,
that's right. This a musical is as well, but they're speaking too, Aaron. Or
yes,
yeah, you've got it all going on. How do you get into character as an elephant?
Oh, I do some stretches. Elephants aren't that flexible, so they need to make sure that they're stretching plenty ahead of time with all that dancing.
Who else is involved in the show in general, Phoebe?
You have
a cast of characters.
Like we talked about, Tara, Tara Zandenbergen, I believe is how you say her last name. Apologies, Tara, if not. She's playing our piggy. We also have Chelsea Weaver. She is one of our squirrels.
Squirrel,
yes. We have squirrel. They're our little ensemble in the show. They're a little trio. And part of that is also Nubia Gomez and Katie Riffle. And then we have the amazing Kaya. Kaya, they are just lovely. They play our dog and our penguin and are also just our understudy for anything squirrel related too. So,
how did you know that Aaron and your piggy were right for the leads, the important big characters here?
We did a really fun exercise where it was just we did a scene and they didn't really have a lot of prep time to do it with each other. And it was cool to see when they got to read together, they naturally were able to play off of each other. And my music director, Kara, she also was like, oh my goodness, their voices would blend, their energy blends, they can combat each other very well, and instead of it being very stagnant, they were able to continue to play off of each other and made it even more goofy and whimsical than I even thought it could be. So
that's nice. That's why theater is so wonderful. You get to be goofy on stage. Did you feel that magic during callback?
Oh, I certainly did. It I had an opportunity to read with a lot of different people, and when I got to read with Tara, it did feel very natural. It was easy to bounce things off of her and really like liven up the energy and the craziness.
What's Tech Week like this week?
It's a lot shorter than normal because we open for schools on Wednesday. We first got onto the stage and the set just on Friday, and so we don't have a lot of time to make that adaptation from a completely flat rehearsal space into a multi-layer set. The set is gorgeous and definitely the most involved set I've ever been on. So it's a lot of adjustment to make in not too much time.
Yes. And if you want to brag on Circle a little bit, Phoebe, you know, behind the scenes can be almost as important as the talent of the actors.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot that goes into this in all aspects, from the box office to scenic design, lighting design, sound design. And we get to meet and talk about it. But the beauty is that Circle has a bunch of amazing artists behind the scenes that are able to bring a kid's book to life and it feel like a kid's book. It's also been lovely having people like Shannon and Lynn and Mary Jo, who work a lot of more of the front house of Circle, also being our support. And even you, Shelley, you're our board advisor. So you stepping into rehearsal has been like that's super cool. Uplifting.
Yep.
So
purposefully chose it. And how has the directing debut been for you?
It's been fun. I wouldn't have asked for any other show, because this show is, it's just funny and it's whimsical, it's goofy, and it's also so kid friendly that you kind of think about it, it's like, oh, we can do that and the kids are going to laugh at it. Like, it's everything we do, these kids are going to love. So
is there a fourth wall, Aaron, or are you actually, is your interaction with kids? I think you're basically not, but
well,
tell me
not
more.
To give too many spoilers, but there is some interaction, absolutely.
Sit in the front row.
For sure.
If you're going to be lucky. And what else, Aaron? I mean, you've had to learn lines. You've had to sing the lines. You've had to do choreography and be an elephant. That's a stretch for many.
It certainly is. I'm on stage for 98% of the runtime, which is a distinct challenge. I don't have much time to
go back and check your lines.
Exactly. I don't have time to turn off or anything like that. And I'm not the strongest of dancers, so it's been very great to work with Phoebe, who is very quick to make adaptations or meet me where I need to be. So that's been a very big blessing throughout this process.
Wonderful. All right. Well, a rehearsal tonight and then showtime. Aaron Eating, why come see the show Elephant and Piggies? We are in a play.
Because it's just so darn cute. It's great for kids, but I know that the adults who are in attendance will find a lot to appreciate as well. It's nice and quick. You can get in, enjoy it, get on with your life, and be singing the songs on the way out as well.
That's the take home.
And they will get stuck in your head, for sure. They will get stuck.
Phoebe, how does one see the show, get tickets and more, please?
Yeah, there's so many ways. You can go to circletheater.org to get tickets, or even on the day of, you can even come up and purchase tickets direct from the box office.
Yes, and yes, thanks to Shannon and Lynn and Mary and the whole group behind the scenes. But sometimes what's on the stage is pretty cool as well. Magic Circle production kicking off Circle Theater season. Thank you, Aaron and Phoebe.
Thank you.
There's a grand opening right around the corner. There's been talk that, well, there is an Older American Month coming up. So let's talk to those involved. Trueline Health Clinic opened in January, but now all about redefining primary care in Grand Rapids. So let's discuss. Glad that you are here, Nancy Tuohy. We'll call you founder. That's a big deal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you. Dr. Varma, I am glad you are back. It's been too long since we've seen each other. You, one of the, of course, dedicated to healthcare professionals, your expertise, internal medicine. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley, and congratulations on your recent Legacy Award.
Thank you very much. Yes. Were you there?
I heard all about it.
Okay. Because I hear people who were there. I was like, oh, I didn't get to squeeze you, but now I get to squeeze you. Thank you. It just makes you work harder. How's that?
Okay.
All right. But this is all about you. I'm going to have you set us up, Nancy. Trueline Health, congratulations to you and yours.
Well, thank you, Shelley, for having us today. We're very excited. After a couple years of hard work, we finally open up our clinic, dedicated clinic for seniors 65 and older. Our grand opening is coming up on May 6th, Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. We welcome the whole community to come to see us.
Yes. Where are you located?
We're at 2040 Raybrook, Suite 200, right next to Holland Home Raybrook Campus.
Wonderful. Dr. Verma, why a TrueLine Health Clinic that has a specialization?
So appreciate the conversation. Shelley, healthcare is a dialogue. Physicians cannot spend their time monologuing about health. If we are not speaking with our patients, we cannot possibly see change. Furthermore, we must implement healthcare through our own care capacity, nutrition, movement, sleep, stress reduction, spirituality, human connection. We know from the grant study that the most enduring prescription of health is human connection. And so if we can reduce stress, enliven relationships, impact health through movement, and food is medicine, imagine prescriptions fall away and behaviors become the core of our impact.
Again, from your wonderful website, TrueLine Health, you're focusing on whole health solutions that restore and optimize well-being, empowering older adults on even Medicare to achieve lasting health. I'll have you expand on that and then move to you, Nance.
I think what's most exciting is that the patients that have been presenting to TrueLine are already having this inner dialogue. They're looking for physicians who deprescribe, move away from the momentum in this $4.3 trillion health burden we endure in the United States. There is no reason why we should be prescribing and then more prescriptions for adverse health outcomes when what we could be doing is deprescribing, looking at what patients are already doing and how do we enhance their health. We are blessed to have care partners on our team who are dedicated to movement and nutrition. And Nancy's going to speak more to what makes TrueLine stand apart, which is our remote patient monitoring program and the availability of wearables that are not daunting, but allow patients to monitor their own health.
Yes. Take it away, Nancy.
Definitely. All of our seniors out there, they probably all know, they will see their doctor when they're ill. And when they leave the doctor's and until they go back to the doctor, will be a long period of time. They're on their own. This is why TrueLine provides this solution. We call it remote health monitoring, really to monitor your health between the two visits. We aim to prevent so that we reduce the catastrophic events. That's so important for our seniors.
We have so many patients saying, can you get me off my blood pressure medication? Can you get me off my diabetes medication? Can we redefine our approach to healthcare? That's music to our ears.
Absolutely. Deep prescribing is one of the main objectives.
I mean, you still have goals. You still want to get your patients better, but in a, such a necessary in different way.
Shelley, you hosted a 5K event this past weekend.
It was all about health and wellness.
You are an avid runner. People who follow you are watching you. You are modeling behavior. We in healthcare must model the very behavior we want and expect of our patients. And they're looking for that in their clinicians and their clinic as well.
Is there an opportunity to book a free consultation? I don't want to make this a commercial, but this is kind of a cool thing, right?
Absolutely. During our grand opening, we offer free lifestyle consultation with our care partners, and they can call us at 616-386-4260 to schedule a free consultation or talk to our team anytime. You can come to visit us in person.
Do you use the word preventive health, Dr. Verma?
Always. I think the genesis of primary care should lie in prevention. Imagine health adversities are cumulative. They occur through what we're eating or not eating, whether we're moving or not moving. I'm not suggesting that genetics and environmental factors don't beset us, but there is a feature called epigenetics. If disease is only determined 25% of disease determination may be genetics. That means 75% of disease manifestation or penetration is reversible through our behavior. And so prevention becomes the acceptance that, okay, I have work to do. That if I may not have modeled the very behaviors earlier on in life that portend better health outcomes, it's never too late.
In addition, our team, Dr. Varma, also lead our team to look at root causes of your chronic conditions, really dive in to find those factors and remove those factors, really to allow your body to begin to heal, not simply just using medication to mask the symptoms.
We teach our patients how to eat, what to eat, how to shop. Imagine it's not merely eat better. We're actually giving patients recipes, booklets, specific tools to their disease state or circumstance, I should say. Mm-hmm. It's never too late. I think our mantra in preventative medicine is the recognition that we are not relegated to a health circumstance, that it is an actionable situation that we can improve upon.
With a couple minutes left, and I want to get Nancy the details of the open house, but Dr. Varma, I want to ask Varma, let's say a patient's interested. I'm 65. I want to come see. Do I get to see you? What's my action item here?
Absolutely. Arlene will pick up the phone. Stacy will greet you. I will meet you in a consult room as opposed to, and nothing about our clinic is sterile or cold. Good. It's an exceptionally inviting atmosphere. And that's what elders, seniors, and everybody deserve, want, and need, a space that is inviting, warm, that understands their needs and gives them time. We will not usher you out the door. You have much to tell us. 65 years and counting of life cannot be expediently shared. We are here to speak with you.
Nancy, tell us more about May 6th.
Excellent. We're excited. So you will have ribbon cutting at 4 p.m. and we have a couple of quick speeches. One from me. I will be talking about a subject called Why Medication is Not Enough. And Dr. Varma will talk about Food is Medicine. And we will have panel discussions from our team members, and our current patients will share their experience. And you can tour our clinic, and refreshments are provided, and you can network with the people in our communities. So we really look forward to having all of you, I mean, the whole community come over.
Yes. Careful what you wish for. Does one sign up? How do I find out more information?
Please call our office number at 616-386-4260. We look forward to having you.
Wonderful. Dr. Varma, why have you chosen this niche of society?
I miss my grandparents. I miss my late father. We will not forsake our elders in their golden years. We will not make medicine so prohibitively expensive that you have to rely on your golden year dollars for privatized care when we should be asking Medicare to care for the very population that has worked so hard for us.
Wonderful. All right. I know you do a little movement too. Anything on your list today?
Yeah, I just hit the gym prior to seeing you. I knew who I was competing with.
You got me beat, but my work does come first. I'll be there in an hour. Thank you for you. Hope to see you soon. Nancy, take us home one more time, please. Thank you for the gift. What did I get here? I'm not going to kill it, am I?
That's a self-watering, okay. Self-watering little plant. It really lights up this studio, I hope. So,
yes.
Well, again, TrueLine is a dedicated primary care for seniors who are on Medicare, Medicare Advantage plans. And we are whole health primary care, and we want to take care of you. And our website is truelinehealth.com. That's where you can find a lot of our information. And in another word, we want to say how we set ourselves apart is that we really provide concierge level of service at your normal insurance coverage without the additional cost. Please come to check us out. We won't let you down.
I wouldn't interview anybody who would. How's that? Thank you both for your expertise, Nancy Tuohy, Dr. Varma, on behalf of TrueLine Health, because it's a true line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
I'm Shelley Irwin. That is a what we call a Tuesday wrap. Your inspiration for the day, according to Isaac Asimov in My Dog Calendar, never let your sense of morals prevent you from doing what is right. That's heavy, but it's true. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a good day.